This is the duplicate tape of George Tom's interview, from an original 90-minute tape to a 60-minute tape. 7 California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Mr. George Tom on April 21st, 1979 by Mr. Stanley Lau. This is tape 3.
Had some kind of goal that they, wanted to achieve. They would buy houses. So they would save probably for a house. But in the old days, the average person really didn't have that much money to own a place. I would say a gambling, as I recall, the youngster, when I worked in restaurants, were mostly confined to the workers, the cooks and the waiters, using my deal and stuff like that. They would gamble their money away. But I think the people that were in business, like they had their own laundry and some of that, had completely different habits. They were the ones that tried to make gold and buy them. Of course, ourselves, we were just poor workers, and we didn't have that much to say.
So far as the other Chinese, do you feel that they live together in the same area because of necessity or choice or? As the neighborhood changed, do you think that they would want to move to stay with Chinese, or what were the feelings you remember back in those days? Did Chinese tend to congregate next to one another, or did
I think the Chinese tend to want to congregate. Well, they eat, certain ways, and they use chopsticks, which are the opposite of them. We sort of congregate too. I mean, we live next door to our cousins. We're in the big family. So we're sort of like little outlying Chinese communities.
But wasn't there a migration? Wasn't there at one time, say, 9th Street, there was people living in that area, and then there was a movement to the 26th Street area? And people sort of went
instead
of follow one another in a way?
Yes, I would say they generally, one Chinese family would move into an area, then pretty soon there would be a few more that are coming in later. It's just like when I moved to 52nd and Broadway, the Y.E., the Junior Huang, they bought a place in 48th Street, just off of Broadway in Maine. And then when later on, people in Union area was getting bad. And then I had a little money because I worked for the department. In 1940, I bought a house at 52nd and Broadway for $7,000. And that was a place that my mom lived until the 60s.
Now, when you said that about $7,000, is that total price? Or did
yeah, total price.
Did you pay cash then?
No, I didn't. I had accounts. I think I had about $800 cash. I borrowed $600. That was $1,400 down. And I had this FHA loan for the remainder. She sure hated to move out of the house because she lived there so long. My mother was pretty heartbroken when she moved out of there. But I'm sure she's much happier now with you there.
Let's talk a bit about Chinese and politics. In the days before World War II, what were the attitude of the Chinese towards, so far as politics go? Did they were they oriented to this country in terms of American politics, or the politics of old China, or they didn't care at all, or what?
My feeling was that they were oriented to the politics of China, who brought Madong and stuff like that. There were a few, like the ones that were in CCA, that were just kind of getting their feel in American politics. Personally, being a city worker, I did not really get involved with politics because in the old days, the ruling was that no politics. So I've been very non-committal about my political feelings, and as a matter of fact, even my religious feelings at work. I seldom talk about it. But I did have the impression that most of them were Republicans. But I guess the ones that joined CACA, most of them were in their own business. There were a few Democrats, but they didn't really show their... Like Billy New and myself were Democrats, and of course, Y.C. Hong, very strong in the politics of CACA, wouldn't probably ever condone the idea of letting them out of the Republican regime.
That's right. Yeah. So you say at the very beginning, then, for those people who were professionals, or those people who were educated in this country, there was a tendency to reform the country, become more Republican.
Yes.
Than a Democrat. Right. But for the most part, the Chinese community were didn't really care about American politics.
Yes.
It was just more oriented towards Chiang and his regime.
Right. That's the way that's what we call it.
Now, at that time, at that particular time, did you feel that Chinese had a shall we say, an obligation from their standpoint to China? I mean, were there those that still had families in China that they were supporting, or were they just, at that time, mostly Americanized in their way?
Well, I think most of them, we came over, I've always had a feeling that I'm going to get a nest egg and I'm going to go back to the old country and really live a life dryly. And I think my granddad felt that way also. So they all, they try to work here, save some money, or they send money back. And most of them don't even see the money anymore because the people in the, back there spend it all. And I know families that had that problem. So that's basically the old timers that came over, they wound up making their thing and go back to retire. Now the youngsters like myself, we grew up there, we didn't really have that kind of a feeling. We're American, we're citizens, we're born here, so this is our home.
Did you have any relatives in China?
Yes, of course. Yes, I had, my father's brothers were in China. One of them still in Hong Kong.
you ever communicate with them?
Not that much, no. So being with a family, we were not part of the sort of, we were out of our game, and some things involved.
How about the Chinese in Los Angeles in the Depression days? How did they survive, you recall?
Well, I guess survived because they had their own trade, to buy Chinese groceries and stuff like that. Import export business. It wasn't easy, but I went to sell tea door to door in order a weekend.
Chinese tea?
Yes.
To whom?
Door to door.
Everybody.
Well, wherever. Well, I was going to say Richard, Ed Lee, William Lee, Lincoln, Mel, myself, the four of us. He'd get in the car and we'd go, say, we'd take care of the LA High School area. And we'd go door to door. He'd sell the help shop, sewing, wulong. We have 1 pound candy ginger. Justice. You have to buy a pack of 10 for 10 cents and you sell one pack for 10 cents. So look at this.
Well, you made a pretty good
living that way. Candy ginger, 9 cents, maybe up to 15 cents. You sell for 25 cents. Well, help child, I think, paid $2 or $3 a tin. And you can sell each package for 10 cents. And of course, there are better package tea, like cast mine.
So far as the feeling towards Chinese in Los Angeles at that time, what was the general public's attitude? Acceptance? Hostile? Supportive or what?
Well, I guess as long as you didn't encroach here and everything was peaceful, I didn't recall any real bad incidents that I know about it as far as Chinese concerned.
What were there?
I don't think that we have the same problem that at that time that the Chicanos have right now. Maybe we're not rabble rousers or what, I don't know.
Well, could
the Chinese people more peaceful or more inward? They don't go out and try to encroach some people. They don't push themselves on.
Well, could you go to any place in Los Angeles, for example? Restaurants, hotels, dance, ballroom places?
Well, I would say no, you couldn't. The Bimini, I can recall Bimini, we hear about, because when we hear about, they don't accept you, so we don't go.
They don't
antagonize you,
Bimini, that's all about Beverly and...
well, it's on Vermont,
and,
yeah, right.
And that was the swimming pool.
That's right.
Very popular.
The Olympic diving camp couldn't get in. Family.
That's true for other places as well.
Well, I would say yes. But gradually, somehow or another, they accepted. Very slow, but when you hear about it, you don't go out and make that much trouble. And I think this is one of the things about Chinese attitudes, because they're not the same.
Would you say that this is this decrease in attitude of the white toward the Chinese, that this decrease came after World War II?
Yes, I would say after World War II, right.
So World War II is really a turning point so far as many of the job opportunities and social acceptance of whatever it is.
Yeah, right. Although I never felt the real I've never had that kind of a problem. Like when I came to work for the department, I've always been accepted by my fellow workers. I did my job, and I do the job, so never considered myself as yellow face or anything like that. When I'm working on the job, the whole thing is we've got to work together and get the job done.
Was there raised any resentment of you on the job or jealousy of you on the job?
No. No, I roll up my sleeve and do the same as any.
Well, have you ever heard the comparison of Chinese with Jewish people in late news business? Have you heard people making these type of comparisons in the past?
Not really, but I have heard different sayings, you know, that Jewish people, they like to deal with Chinese.
Okay, let's move on to these questions which have been called cultural attitudes. First of all, about wives. You're married.
Yeah.
Right. When did you get married?
1947.
How did you meet your wife?
No, 1949.
Excuse me, 1949. And when did you, how did you meet your wife?
Oh, I met my Claire on several different occasions. She was going to school at USC. I knew her there. I also knew, I was acquainted with her brother. He was in the same outfit as I was in 555. And I guess the boat landed in, when we came back from overseas, it landed in Seattle. So I had more opportunities to get acquainted with Claire. To LA area too, what she was studying.
And was she introduced to her by her brother?
I was introduced to her down here at different occasions. I was working at USC as a research assistant with the NACA project at the Indian Angel. And of course I knew a lot of USC students. I guess, you know, dancers and some of that.
Was that a long question?
Well, I wouldn't really say long, maybe a couple of years.
Better to recall. And where was Claire born?
Claire was born in Seattle, Washington.
And what about your friends? How did they meet their wives? That is, your men friends in general? Would you say they met the same way, or was there any other ways?
Getting back to this meeting, girls, during my days of going to school and coming up, it always appeared that the Chinese girls here didn't seem to like the LA boys or something. I mean, I don't know why I say that, but that's the thing I recall at that time. It was very difficult to get acquainted with the Chinese girls. So most of it was arranged, really, in a way. I would say that the older folks, we should get George to get acquainted with so-and-so's daughter. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's the way it was done most of the time.
Did any of your friends go back to China to get married?
Yes, I had quite a few that did that. My high school chums did that.
And that was prior to World War II then?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And as a matter of fact, Steve Wong did that. And,
what was the reason? Is it because difficulty in meeting American-born Chinese women, or because they wanted someone with the same cultural background? Or
I think that was it. They like to have somebody with the same cultural background. Somebody you can communicate with easily.
So far as American-born Chinese, were they just as eager to have sons rather than daughters as the parents, as their parents did?
You can't help but rub off because you raised a certain way. They always like to have a boy. They're the number one, I could say number one son. I feel that it's feeling inbred or something, whatever, can help it.
And what about your family? How many children do you have?
I have a boy and a girl. And the boy is the number one. He's the first one.
Do you favor the boy?
No, I don't really think I do. No.
How about
but it's just the inbred thing about the tradition of the Chinese, you know, the Oriental tradition of the Chinese tradition.
What's your feeling about interracial marriage?
Well, it's inevitable the way it's coming. Can't help it.
So far as when you were a youngster, was there interracial dating going on at that time? Was it prevalent, common? Was it something that...
No, it wasn't common. If it happened, there were a lot of fireworks. I know even between Chinese and Japanese dating, families were unhappy. We had American friends and American girlfriends and all that, but I don't know that marriage was really involved. I don't think we talked about it that seriously, put it that way. Kind of recall. When we were growing up, that wasn't the thing that we were worried about.
Your children's Chinese education, do they know Chinese? Speak Chinese?
Not fluently. We sent them to Chinese school, but I guess they don't teach Chinese like they used to, you know, and of course they don't spend the time at it that I did, for instance. You only have it on Saturday morning generally, and it'd be pretty hard to learn too much.
And you speak Chinese with them at home?
Oh, yes. We try, every time we try to the new food or something new, ask them to repeat it, say it, so that they are at least familiar.
Would you say they are conversant in Chinese, or would you say they just understand it?
Well, they understand it. They're
not that fluent.
Not that fluent.
What about reading and writing?
They recognize some words, but not that fluent. They don't use it that.
What was the rationale in your day about sending you to Chinese school? Is it something that, part of your education, or...
Well,
you got a trouble, or what?
In my generation, the thing is, you're a youngster, don't say too much, just sit down and listen. That's so when your parents tell you to do something, you do it. You don't check. So you go to Chinese school, you go to Chinese school. But nowadays, it's a little bit different. They have more free time. We're a little more open. Raise opposite lines. Allow the children a little more freedom.
Do you treat your children the same way your parents treat you?
No.
Are you more open with them?
Yes, I would say I'm more open with them. Well, I have to be, because I'm brought up this way, whether you have other distractions that you didn't have in the old days.
Well, considering your background, do you think you were raised, shall we say, well, or would you say, in other words, do you find anything wrong with the way you were brought up?
No, I can't really say it's wrong.
If it's good or if it's not wrong, if it's accepted to you as being good or at least acceptable, no.
Yeah, but times have changed. You can't raise youngsters the way my mom raised me. Because there are more distractions now there. You couldn't do it.
So your attitude right now is that it's the outside pressure is
More
than your own family. Yeah. Well, what about when you were a child? Did you have outside pressure too?
I don't recall that, no. I know that Larry Chase, you know, the Lillian, she had a tremendous problem trying to get adjusted because her father was very authoritative. Got to do this and you can't do anything otherwise. And I can remember hearing her talking about the problems, you know. So you have to adjust because the society changes. So then they're going to, like my youngsters going to school, they have the different contacts. And I don't feel that if I were to try to raise my youngsters the way my mom taught me, I don't think it would work out. There could be a confrontation or whatever you might say. I don't believe that's the way to raise a family. Yeah, it's a good point, being authority and all that, but you just like kids are being authority. They train everybody to think in one way, you know, it's no good either.
At any time when you were a child, was there any consideration about sending you back to China to continue the Chinese education back then?
Yes, there was, but I don't think we ever had enough money to save up to do it.
How was your feeling? Would you go?
Well, I would say I was gone because I was raised to listen.
It was not because you wanted to or not wanted to, you
yeah.
can't had to then.
Yes, right.
That's interesting because I think that's something that I feel the same way. Now, were there many Chinese going back to China to further education?
Well, I think those who are in business to send all the youngsters back. Yeah, there are quite a few. Albert Neal, he went back. There's Sam Lowe, he went back.
And usually this is for high school, wasn't it?
During your high school time.
Yeah. Come back here then. School.
Years or 2 years.
So it was a fairly, common practice, provided they had the financial means to.
Yeah, right. Like Wilbur and Louis Chick, Louis Dunn family, I think, so some of the facts.
Now, what do you think of the way Chinese were portrayed in the early American movies?
Well, I think they try to portray things that are authentic at the time. I mean,
when you saw Anime Wong playing in the movie role, did you feel that was good or bad? Entertainment or what? Who did you see me think of it?
Yeah, I don't really recall seeing that many films of Anime Wong
or other Chinese.
I would say they try to make it authentic the way I've seen it. I worked in movies as an extra on many occasions, and I felt that they did try to make it as close as possible to portraying what it was. Of course, it's still a hostage and advantage to adjust music. You listen to Jason Farr or something like that, and it's really not quite the Chinese music that we know about.
You know, you didn't feel
interpretation.
You didn't get as upset with what Chinese are doing in movies as perhaps some of the people today.
No, right.
As to whether the stereotype or demeaning or anything like that.
Right.
For you, it was just, okay, it's a job, or, well, it's there.
And it's like brand of the bin, you know, I was authentic at the time.
Okay.
It's a period, during that period, it's everywhere.
Did you or your friends or anyone you knew make any protest about the way Chinese were portrayed in those days?
Not really. Protest, I didn't come until after World War.
And did you ever hear anyone say they were embarrassed to be Chinese?
No, I don't think I've ever. Yeah.
Now,
what type of job? Most of Chinese people, you know, they have a tremendous cultural background, but I don't think they would ever see that.
Okay, now, what type of jobs would most Chinese consider to be ideal for themselves?
I think most of the Chinese, they have to be in their own business. They always want to make a lot of money. Because they feel that when you have money, then you have the name and the status and the community.
How about for their children?
Well, they want to give the best for their children. That's one way to do it.
if you have money, then you can provide for your children.
What was the attitude of families towards education for their children?
The more education that they be able to take, send them to college, emphasize it to the, I think that's one thing that